Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
I think there must be a mirror in the studio as there's a follically challenged guy wearing a paisley shirt and very big Tom Ford designer glasses staring across the desk from me. Oh my God, it's not me, it's Hugh Wallace. Hugh Wallace, you're very welcome to the programme.
Very good. Bobby, I actually have the shirt you have on, and I was pulling it out of the wardrobe and I said, no, I'll go for a short sleeve shirt today because it's so fabulous.
Well,
you're looking great.
I love people who wear loud shirts, big glasses, and celebrate life.
Absolutely.
You and me both.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right.
Now that we've so much in common, let's start with property, Hugh.
Yes.
As a people, we seem obsessed with property, which I think is a great thing. Is it a mixed blessing?
No, we're just obsessed with property. Like, it is a historical issue for society and just going back to the land.
Yeah.
And so that's why we love property. And we should love it and we should own our houses. And unfortunately, we're now in a situation we can't.
Yeah.
It's disastrous. It's just outrageous.
You always knew you wanted to be an architect, isn't that right?
Yeah,
you were playing with Lego and Meccano at a very early age.
Absolutely, from the age of four. I just loved it. I loved drawing. Because I was dyslexic, my sort of brain uses the other side of my, or sorry, I use the other side of my brain, and I love forms and shapes and spaces and
color,
all of that. Just love it.
And you only discovered your dyslexia
when you were just about to do your leaving.
Yeah.
4 months before I was to do my leaving ceremony.
Yeah.
And my teacher said, my English teacher, Greg Collins, said, you have dyslexia. And I went, ooh, is that sore?
Yeah.
I wonder what that does.
Yeah.
And I went off and I had to do some, I did 2 days of sessions and they said, yes, he's dyslexic. And Greg wrote into the Department of Education. They got a bit confused because there was only 8 people who they'd found this miraculous word, dyslexic, for people who can't spell. Why would you choose dyslexia?
Yeah.
Anyway, but and the department were very good.
Well, you say yourself that you were reared in a Protestant bubble. Did you keep your toaster in the press?
No. Oh, most certain. What would you keep your toaster in the press for?
It's a thing that...
No, I know that, all that. What a load of nonsense. No, it was on the counter with the kettle. Nobody had any coffee in those days. You'd Maxwell House. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah, Maxwell, the powdered stuff.
I remember it well.
Oh,
vile stuff.
Vile.
I even remember its predecessor that used to be cut with chicory, which is even worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Irel.
Yeah.
Do you remember Irel?
Yeah, I do.
For making the cakes. That were for the coffee cakes. I loved it.
You went to Bolton Street again.
I did.
A DIT man like myself.
Love it.
Your journey there, you actually had set up your business, had you not, before you graduated.
I did, yeah. I'd set up Douglas Wallace before I graduated, which I loved. We had a friend I used to go fishing in Rosslare with the Devereaux in Rosslare, and they had a small hotel down there and they wanted to put on an extension, do it all up and everything else. And that was our first job.
Right.
And we literally, Alan and myself, we were... partners at the time, both in business and privately. And so we actually did that in the bedroom of our house.
No way.
So it's amazing when you think how small acorns sort of grew into something so substantial. And I've always been very lucky with my partners in business. Like Alan Douglas was an amazing partner. And now I've Jerry Hand, Joe Gallagher, and Adrian and Damien, and it's wonderful to have a group of people that have other skill sets that you don't have.
Yeah, and did you like the business end of things?
I loved it.
So in terms of getting paid,
love it. Oh, love money.
Yeah,
bring on the money, bring out the moolah. And it is very important, and it is that thing of being able to talk to clients.
Yeah.
But not only to talk to them, but actually to turn around and question what they're doing. You know, question, is it right to do that? And what is the market and where are you going to sell it? Because if you're on a journey with your client to allow them to thrive, to rebrand, to make money.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
an architect friend of mine once said to me that architects are the first profession to be affected by a recession and they're the last to recover.
Yes.
Would you subscribe to
Absolutely.
That?
I totally agree to that. So if you like, if there's a cold coming, the architects get it first. And when it comes out the other end, funny enough, I would have said architects are the first to see the revival as well.
Okay.
Because if you like, we're ahead of everything. Everybody has to have planning permission before they can build anything.
Yeah.
But
if you look at your own journey, Hugh, in terms of your business journey, yeah. You know, you probably grew with the market.
Yes.
You know, you soared with the Celtic Tiger.
No, absolutely.
And then you crashed.
Fell off.
And burned.
Fell off the
end.
Yeah. Dreadful.
How dark was that time for you?
Oh, I can't tell you. It was, you know, we had, going into 2007, we had 160 staff. And by 2009, we had 60.
Yeah.
And it was like you had to let five people go every month. And it was just destructive.
Yeah.
It was horrible, horrible on the way down. And you're eternally hopeful. But unfortunately, the hope runs out and the road runs out.
Yeah.
And we went into receivership.
You struggled yourself. I think you were quite open with some of the issues out of that.
Yeah, with alcoholism, depression. Like you get the full gambit. And like I look back on that period and I think of what happened to other people. Like I was lucky.
Yeah.
In I can't say I was lucky at the time, but in hindsight I was lucky. You know, and I had my partner, Martin, who supported me during that dark place. And like, you know, it was just amazing. And we had no money. Martin and myself had no money.
Yeah.
After the demise of the company. And it was just a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call from excess.
And how did you find your way through that darkness? When did things start to come?
Well, I was very lucky because Douglas Wallace sort of started again out of the embers. And like the first 4 years were just
grim.
Hanging on for dear life. But we hung on.
Yeah.
And we grew the business again and we're busy and you know, the office is fun again. But there's only 22 of us, which is a great relief.
Yeah, it's
manageable.
Yeah, and you know everybody and
you
see everybody and all that.
And also the work we're doing is amazing. Like to be actually able to be involved in the development, redevelopment of North Keys in Waterford, to be involved with Harcourt Developments in that is an amazing project.
That's a project that someone said would never be built.
It will be built.
Yeah.
It will be built. And it'll be, it's an amazing regeneration project. And it's wonderful working with councils who are visionaries. So Waterford is just a wonderful county council and the officers are just terrific.
I see you're working with Leitrim as well.
Yeah, loved Leitrim. Like I had a fabulous day on Thursday in Leitrim. Really positive about regeneration of their towns and villages and houses in the countryside and the grants that are available. And to me, like when I think back, if you remember going through Carrigan Shannon, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, my God, it was grim.
It's a great town now.
It is magic.
Yeah, yeah.
It is magic. And the councils have done so much work.
Hugh, you've said that you haven't said it, but you've observed there are 250,000 buildings in this country at some stage of dereliction.
Or vacancy.
Isn't that criminal?
Yeah, it is criminal. It's absolutely criminal. And while the vacant property and the derelict and vacant property grants are terrific, let's be quite honest about that.
The stick probably isn't being yielded enough in terms of the...
No.
You know, if you're sitting on a derelict property, you need to pay up and you need to pay up now.
Yeah. The issue with any what constitutes a vacant property is, so if you have a shop on the ground floor and there's nothing overhead, that isn't vacant.
Yeah.
And really we have to drive people into living over the shops again. And I just wonder, are Irish people snobs and don't want to live over the shop?
Why wouldn't you not? What a wonderful place to live.
I know, but there seems to be a reluctance to engage. And I think that it's very important that the government are proposing changes in relation to grants available for over the shop living. and they need to be addressed really quickly.
Is the fire safety thing a red herring?
No, it isn't. It's an issue and needs to be addressed as well. So there are derogations required in relation to elements of fire disabled access and insulation if these properties are to be done up. That doesn't mean that they're not livable, habitable and fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a balance in these things. And so I just think we need to get the next step. And, you know, I'm amazed by the idea of the government now having to have another quango with a Super Mario to sort out the housing problem. I mean,
heard you were going to be the new Super
Mario.
Yeah,
I'll be the Super Mario because I tell you, it's just mad what goes on in the country.
Stick up your hand and you might get a job.
Yeah, I'd love the job, you know, but I just think that the issue here is that, you know, we half-heartedly do things. So the first Living Over the Shop initiative was in 1993.
Yeah.
And to think what a miserable failure that's been.
There's a lot of talk. I see Micheál Martin out talking about presidential candidates is one Hubert Wallace.
Oh, I think we should
be putting his name forward.
No, I think jointly. The two of us should go jointly. You know, you can appear at some and I can appear at the other, Bobby. That'd be much better. Yo, come on, babe.
Well, listen, it's been a real pleasure to welcome you, my doppelganger, into the studio here. Hugh Wallace, you're an entertainer, you're a great man, and you're a great visionary. Keep doing what you're doing, because we love you.
I love you, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.